Krishna. I am very happy in two ways today. One is just to be alive. It's such a blessing. Second is, I feel our retreat is going very well. I'm observing you, and I see that many of you are really trying to remember the points, apply the points, and practice with the points. And this is the whole idea of a retreat. In the future, I want to give even more time to reflection, but because I know that many of us are not used to go in the lonely wilderness and practice on their own, I'm still very concerned that I give you a lot of things to digest, but I really feel in the future we will go for a day where we just are on our own a little bit. That's difficult to do in a bathing paradise like this. I do remember from my own growth in Krishna consciousness, I mean my own way, I would like to say, my own journey, that I have profited a lot from sometimes just being on my own. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he mentions this, he talks about this. He basically gives two tips how you can cultivate the holy name. One is to chant in the association of devotees, and that is what we do, or try to do a lot here, in both our japa and our kirtan sessions. But the other is almost opposite to this recommendation. He says one should practice in seclusion. Seclusion means when you are all, I don't want to say alone, let me say when the world becomes silent around you and you become very active in your relationship to Krishna. So you are alone with Krishna. That time is necessary. Don't we know this when we are with a friend whom we have not seen for some time? Then we just feel, if we see him in a mass of devotees, like in a festival, or let us say we meet him out in town, then we do our shopping, and he does his, and we just happen to meet before a department store, we somehow feel this is not the good, best environment for our meeting. We need time alone. We need quality time where we are together with each other. We feel it's a great necessity. So this also needs to be practiced in relationship to Krishna, because the finer things, the finer expressions of, not only expression, the access to finer devotional feelings needs a private setting. Now it's wonderful that during kirtan, and also during japa, something like this happens, but not the complete thing. During japa or kirtan, you might have noticed, although you are surrounded with many people, in some mysterious way, you feel also secluded, because everyone is concentrating on the holy name, and there are not many relationships going on. this. Maybe the relationship between the Kirtaniya, who throws a glance of fire to the cattle players, who are again much too fast. But that's really in a very private setting. It's not something which the whole group participates in. So yes, in Kirtan and Japa, we also, because everyone concentrates not on the many relationships with the many people in the group, but the one relationship with the Lord, we feel secluded. But still Bhaktivinoda Thakur says we need a secluded atmosphere. And it's interesting, he goes to such an extreme that he says, because even in a secluded atmosphere, sometimes the tendency for the eyes is to wander, oh, this tree, that flower, oh, let me see what other vegetation and animals are here. He recommends that you blindfold your eyes, you know, like Gandhari, putting something over your eyes so that you are really secluded. You don't, the world around you has dissolved. That's why we do this ocean meditation. Have you noticed yesterday where we said, you know, your feet are transparent, now your body is transparent, and everything has dissolved also in your mind. And did you notice how during that time you really feel, I'm for myself now, and I'm on my own now. And that is good. That is necessary. That feeling is really required. And I encourage you, especially our Belkane population, devotees who are very active in millions of relationships, you know, that sometimes you may try this. You may just take a day out in Sarajevo or Belgrade or Zagreb or Ljubljana, and you may go in the forest. You may find yourself a good seat. Maybe you have a few good prayers with you which help you to focus on a devotional mood, or your picture of your spiritual master and Krishna, and then you really do this seclusion thing. And this is what we are trying to do tomorrow on our 12th, I forgot exactly how we have divided the day. I'm sorry. From 10 to 10, we will hold the 10th floor. Good. 10 to 10 day. There, I would like to offer you this tip. Try to really be with the Holy Name as much as possible while everyone concentrates, and you will see that quality of that day will be significantly improved if you try to also avoid, in the times when you are not participating in the 12-hour kirtan, but you do everything else, eating and washing your clothes and strengthening and nourishing your bodies, during that time try to be a little bit for yourself. And I will study you today a little bit, and maybe I will recommend that we will do monam today. That means only chant the Holy Name. Because when you make such an experience of not relating to the millions of other relationships, but really giving time for that one relationship, that neglected relationship, that waiting relationship, that relationship where all your opportunities and undiscovered bliss lies, when you give time for that, you might really experience something which is just so sublime that it will bring tears to your eyes the moment you remember it. So people, now this day, Bhavananini has explained to us, and I could not believe when I heard her saying it's really our last full day before this experience of the 12-hour kirtan tomorrow. So please try to tune yourself in, and by Krishna's mercy, I feel I have a lot to say to help you by tuning yourself in. Today, following the guideline of Vajan Rahasya, is a practice on the level of taste and how to do that that we will learn. Because if we are asked by the acharyas to concentrate on that one relationship, it's easy if it's a good relationship, if we have a taste for this, and it's difficult, then it's not a good relationship. Have you seen that you spend time with someone who, you know, somehow the chemistry is just working opposite to what it should, and you really secretly just, only four and minutes and 37 seconds are left, you know, for this meeting, then I have a good excuse to jump out of the window. How difficult it is and how slow the time spreads. And have you noticed how when you are together with a person, you really appreciate it, you really want to be together, how all of a sudden the time is over and you thought, we just met, what happened? No, we ate also a meal and we walk through the phone. No, I think in my perception, I've just seen it. You just met. I just rang at your door. So taste makes it easy to makes it desirable to spend time with the holy name, and no taste makes staying with the holy name slightly difficult, if not very difficult. So. Please now bring your ears in the upright position, tune them in the hearing direction from where the sound is, and connect your mind to what you hear. This might help you. I'm thinking, you know, the Vrindavan cows, when they hear something interesting, they usually their ears hang like this. They're not interested, but if they hear some kind of song, sing kirtan or a powerful bull, you know, and they hear something, the ears go like, and then they turn the ears like this, they become like cows. You can see the Vrindavan cows have antenna-like ears. It's very fascinating to observe them doing that. So please do the same. So we will chant today verse number 4. Beautiful. Madanam Madanam Sundari. Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye.
Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye.
Mama janmani janmanishvare. Bhavata bhakti ahaituki tvai. Na dhanam na janam na sundarim. Kavitam va jagadisha kamaye. Janmani janmanishvare.
Janmani janmanishvare.
Bhavatat bhakti ahaituki tvai.
Bhavatat bhakti ahaituki tvai.
Na dhanam na janam na sundarim.
Na dhanam na janam na sundarim.
कवितां वा जगदीश कामये मम जन्मनि जन्मनि श्रये भावतात् भक्ति अहैतुकी त्वयि Workshop, we pray like anything. Don't for this, I request you just to hear. It's sometimes easier to concentrate when you just hear, if you have to speak, then 50% of your focus goes to the speaking function. I do not desire material wealth. I don't want materialistic followers, a beautiful wife, or fruitive activities described in flowery language. All I want, life after life, is unmotivated devotional service to you. So here Mahaprabhu turns to the things of the world who are under the control of a certain form of Krishna whom he names in this verse as Jagat Ishvara, control of this Jagat. This Jagat, this universe is full of these attractive things which engage a person life after life in boundless entanglements. Mahaprabhu turns away from this world, and he also turns away from Jagat Ishvara, and he goes to the Lord of Bhakti, calls him Praneshvara. It's an often used name by Lord Chaitanya for the Lord of Bhakti, the Lord of his prana, the Lord of his life. And these are the two names which we find here in this verse. And he asked him for the rare opportunity for love of Krishna. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, has written a very nice gloss. Gloss means like a poem on this verse, which I would like to read to you, because it does a twinkle of, it has a twinkle of humor in it, and it has a, he expresses what this verse means very, very nicely. Household affairs, possessions, disciples, farm animals. You can just see a person in Bengal, you know, there's household, there's possessions. Then any Bengal Brahmin has a few disciples who give donations. Farm animals, crops, or whatever one may call wealth. The whole family stuff, wife, sons, servants, usually two servants, a male and female servants, relatives, and whomever else one may call one's friends. So just things and people and animals and now friends, well-written poetry or whatever else one calls beautiful literature. All these are nothing but material things. They can't help me. I don't want them. Oh Krishna, all I really desire is that you mercifully give me pure devotional service. That's what I really want. The material stuff, no thank you. I had enough of it. As Prabhupada said, I have seen it all. Now I don't want no more. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, why? Why he says no to one thing and yes to another? He talks a little bit about love. If you want to go deeper in love, the love has to become something which we call exclusive. It includes the object of the love, but it excludes all else. Then you can relish it. Then it becomes deep. We know this in material relationships. You know, imagine there is husband and wife together, and then the wife says, "Darling, I really love also the man from the neighbor street." Immediately the feelings of the man, he had just a rose in his hand, you know, and he wanted to give the rose as a sign of affection to his wife. It was just halfway between them, and then his wife says, "The guy from the neighbor street is also nice." The rose that rose on the ground goes to the guy of the neighbor's street and says, "Women are impossible, aren't they? I'll do something else. I want to give a cultured lecture today." The nature of love, says Gauranga Mahaprabhu, is such that if I place my love elsewhere, it means that I have not a grain of devotion for Krishna. You know, when that woman says, "I love the guy from the neighbor street also as much as you, darling," it's anticlimactic. It really means you foolish person. You don't know what is love. This is not love. Love goes bzzz. This is what Mahaprabhu here says. This is how he wants to love Krishna, not all these other material things, the things from the neighbor street, you know, from the material world. He does not, therefore he talks exclusively like this. I thought this explanation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur tells us why, and we can feel this, why this verse is here, and why it is the verse which explains to us ruchi. See, when you really have taste, when you really have ruchi, then you don't love the guy from the neighbor street, or you, as you know, you become exclusive. If you really love something, then you know, if I really love this retreat, I will not think, oh, hopefully it's over and I can soon go to Serbia to the Krishna Gauranga retreat. It must be exclusive. I must be there. I must be present there. And this is what taste means. There is a prayer which devotees who cultivate the holy name do. They say, Hey Krishna, Ruchi Bhavatu me. It's your time now. Hey Krishna, Ruchi Bhavatu me. Oh Krishna, please may I develop taste for you. You did not know it. Is it now my time or not? It's now our time. Let's do it. Oh Krishna.
Oh Krishna.
Please.
Please.
May I develop taste for you.
May I develop taste for you.
Yes. And in the light of this verse of which Gauranga Mahaprabhu prays, it means as much as I have now attachment for the things of the world, I pray that a similar degree of attachment may be developed by me for your holy lotus feet. No, I pray that. That's what devotees do. When you see devotees going in Vrindavan around Vrindavan, paying their full obeisances at each movement, when you see them around Radhakund, when you see them with exhausted faces but blissful smiles, doing different devotional practices where they give their best, they usually pray in their heart, may this taste for Maya leave me, may I get instead the taste for you. Many prayers are like this. Rupa Goswami says, just like a lover again and again reads the letter he has just received from his beloved, may I in a similar way chant again and again your holy name. And just like the rosy red lips of a beautiful woman taste so sweet for a materialist, may I develop the same taste for your holy name. The scripture, the Vaishnava Acharyas are not shy in this. They speak about the greatest attachment which we can find in this world, the attachment between the opposite sex. They want that type of attachment, which here in this world can be is mostly binding, is turned to Krishna. That type of taste, that type of spontaneous affection goes to the holy name. They pray like this. Now, I have something now to share with you which will surprise you like anything. It might even shock you a little bit. What can we expect, I will ask now, on the road to developing such taste? First of all, would you like to also have such taste for Krishna?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why? Chipashani becomes easier.
To lose all other tastes for everything else.
You want to lose all other tastes for other. Why do you want taste in Krishna consciousness? So that you can do another activity easy. That's not very convincing.
Become happy.
I want to become happy.
He
is an honest man. He wants to become happy.
Real life. Experience of real love.
Someone wants to experience real love. Why do you want to have taste? All your answers are fantastic, by the way. Priyanka. In her German accent, Priyanka explains to us that I think this is what he really wants of me. Then my real attention goes to him. Mm-hmm. Yes. Who else? Why?
Because this is sweet.
It is sweet. Madhu Chandra. When we get taste, we want to do more and more spiritual activities.
Taste, then the relationship is actually established.
When there is taste, then only the relationship is established. Yes, Krishna Loka. It is our real nature. I want to be real. Yes, Krishna. Uh-huh. Yes.
There is nothing better.
Manjari.
Gives love chemical
flow. I couldn't.
Gives life.
Aha. It gives life to an otherwise mechanical process. Can you see? We are getting deeper. Can you see that? In the beginning we were just, then everything is easy. Hare Krishna. Yes, our Russian. Oh, very good. What was that? What?
You enjoyed.
Blagojasta. What was it? Blagojasta. Very esoteric language, yes. It gives joy, yes. Yes. Yes, Prabhu.
It will never be boring, it's always fresh.
It will never be boring, it's always fresh. Yeah. Brigenda, you are the restaurant owner. You must save our lives by your explanation of taste. We might be that we get an attraction to Krishna. My dear devotees, how long can you go on in a mechanical way? How long can you go on in a dutiful way? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that out of the four motivations to engage in bhakti, only one is acceptable. The first motivation is I am in this because of fear. I am not going to hell if I'm not doing this. The second is out of hope. I will go to paradise when I do this. I will enjoy finally. The third way is what I feel is the Hare Krishna way. Out of duty they do it. When they were young and innocent, they promised 16 rounds. Now they have to keep it to not lose their face, like those who have lost their face already. Duty. Raga, says Bhaktivinoda Thakur, raga means attachment is the only motivation which will keep you in bhakti. This is something for those who are attached. Then the process will work. This is something which will happen when you get taste. When I was young, it has by Krishna's grace stopped. But now I can say I was so attached to strawberries and schlagom means whipped cream. I would do any crime to get this. It was really my mother had to supply me regularly.
otherwise I would become intolerable. And the winter was the problem only because of this. There were no good strawberries available, you know. And I would do anything for this. I would. Anyways, this is too embarrassing for me. It's gone by Krishna's mercy. So, when you are having taste or attachment, there is no difficulty, which is even a difficulty. You will just cross over it, you will dance over it to get to where you want. Now, on the road to taste, there is something which is my duty to inform you. It is not something easy to swallow. On the road to taste, as you want to have taste, you must leave some things behind. This is how Gauranga Mahaprabhu starts his verse. He says, I don't want this, that, and this, and that. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his manual, Bhajan Rahasya, where he guides us how to get taste, he spent the first quarter of his writings on how to get taste, on what you should leave behind. Give up your attachment to mundane wealth, that's money. Many followers, that means people who praise you. You sing so nice. Where is your new CD available? Maru. I'm giving an example. Oh, I admire the way you jump into the Adriatic Sea, Sharangata. I'm your faithful follower in jumping in the Adriatic Sea. Admiration, in other words, by others. No? That needs to be left behind as we go on the road and travel. Fulfillment of all kinds of material desires. And also you need to leave behind what Mahaprabhu talked yesterday about. That is lamentation of loss. I know one devotee in Germany. His father died 3 years ago, and this devotee has not yet come over this and has not practiced bhakti because it destroyed him so much. Or when you lose this, or when you lose your good name, or you lose your ticket to on your next flight, or you lose your money, or you lose your earrings, and he taught through Matajis also in my examples, I was taught. You know, you have to stop lamenting for loss of material things. It's very, very important. You know, when you want to fly in an air balloon, how are they called in English, these things which will inflate and then carry you up in the
hot air balloon.
Hot air balloon. Hot air balloon. If you fly in a hot air balloon, you need to leave a few cent sacks on the ground. I've never done this, but I have heard. So, this is necessary. You need to, at least theoretically, develop some detachment from Maya. You need to understand it's not good. It binds you. It lies bluntly into your face when Maya thing says, I make you happy. No one has become happy by money or by good clothes or by fantastic earrings or by something, this or that, the other thing. It's Maya. What to say? And we all know it from our indulgent experiences. So you need to be willing, at least in theory, to give up what binds you. Otherwise you can't move forward on the road of taste. You know this example of Bhaktisiddhanta, that some people wanted to row a boat, but they rowed through the night, and in the morning they saw they hadn't moved a meter because the boat was bound on the shore. Maybe you have experience with this rowboat. Boat also, there's a boat, and you have enthusiastically tried to go to the island. That is still an option for you to confront the monster on the island. You have tried so much effort in rowing your boat, but you really didn't move forward. That is the story of many of our devotees. They do so many things, but the rope remains uncut. It remains there. Now I know when we talk about giving up things, we feel miserable. Oh no, not again, Maharaj. I hope to come to an enlightening lecture, and you're telling me no, 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 no. I want to now give you a very new perspective on how to deal with the necessary detachment, which we all feel in our heart is necessary, but which we sometimes resist doing. It doesn't give us anything. It is something I discovered in Vajrasya, something which has become also my own way how I live my life, and something which has given me tremendous benefit over my practice which I have done in the years before. You know, I'm now almost in the autumn of my life. I'm almost 60 years old. Can you believe it? I'm dead almost already. And I have tried very hard. I came to Krishna consciousness when I was 15. And I was so austere, I only ate an apple a day, nothing more. No prakoras, no rice, no sweets, woo! No, what else? No chocolate! I have to say, because we have Belgian devotees, they like this, which is sanctioned by the GBC, they like it. No this and that, only an apple. Oops. Because I thought, let's do some austerity to just really get away from the attachment of the body and the mind. And yes, Hare Krishna. A year. You can do it when you're young. I would do it now, I would be dead after an hour, you know. But I could understand there needs to, because I could feel after half a year how I was dreaming of pizzas and other things, and I could understand it was not working. But I kept on doing another half year because I thought, well, who is stronger, the pizza or me? But as I progressed in life, I have seen that what is expressed in the Kalki Purana, if you starve your senses, the Dikpalas, that means those who reside over the senses, that is the Devatas, will give you extra trouble. It's a subject matter which is again and again actualized in the scriptures. What it means in not so difficult terms is you will think of the things which you want to get away from. This is arranged by the Devatas, who don't like to be starved because they preside over the senses. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives us a very mature and a very functionable way how to say nada nam na janam na sudar, how to say no to the things of the world. Please listen now as if your life depends on this. He quotes a verse from the Narada Purana where it says, one who knows the true value of things will only accept as much as he needs to maintain himself. If he takes too much or too little, he falls from his position in transcendence. This Rupa Goswami has included in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Let's be simple now, man. It means the devotee accepts those things which he needs to maintain a natural lifestyle, something which is for him. And such a devotee cannot be considered to be a sense enjoyer. My dear devotees, there is a secret in this verse. All of us are born with certain natures. I, for instance, am a little creative, and I like to be a little creative in my outfit, so I need to have something like this. It's a pavitra. But it's offered to Krishna, so it helps me to be in my style. I'm giving examples which are very relevant for young devotees. By nature, I'm little curious. I want to know everything. This is, when Gaurahari was with me, it drove him crazy because he doesn't have that nature. But I need to know when there is a place of a historic monument, what happened there, even though when I was in England, we were there for the Birmingham 24-hour kirtan. One statue was dressed with cloth, and I asked the devotees, what does this mean? And they said, what does this mean? I never thought about it. Didn't you see they dressed the statue? Yesterday it was not dressed like this. Today it's dressed like this. Why? Maharaj, we really don't know. And then I needed to know. And I found out it was because the queen was doing her 60 years of reign. And then I wanted to know, how does the queen feel on her birthday, on her 60th day? And, I was with devotees, and they think it's Maya to ask this question. So I was in the airplane, and someone had a newspaper, and I said, I need to know what. Is there something about the queen? And he said, he was just reading it, but he saw my greedy eyes, and he said, here. And I read how she felt. She said, it was a very humbling experience to be praised by so many. I thought, yes. I can understand that. It's humbling when someone praises you. So, my nature, I have to engage in Krishna's service. So this curiosity, I now put into different scriptures. I read the Kalki Purana, and I read this, and I read that, to find out about my Krishna. And in this way, I can use everything which brings me closer to Krishna. One who knows the true value of things will only accept as much as he needs to maintain himself. He needs to maintain his nature. If he takes too much or too little, he falls from his position in transcendence. You know, when you don't take care of yourself so that you can function in this world for Krishna, mind me, for Krishna, not for sense enjoyment. No? You need to keep yourself in the position where you can do your journey. If you are too weak because you have eaten only an apple every day of the year for 365 days, that is not good. You will become mental. You will not be engaged to your full capacity. But when you take care of yourself so that you can give your full capacity to Krishna, then you can progress. It's about giving your everything. And you need, if you want to have taste, give your everything. You can't be a maybe. Hare Krishna. You have to be fully on this. And for that, you need to keep yourself alive. Do you notice how we tell you in this retreat? Move your body. Because if you just sit, you will fall asleep when you do your chanting. Do you notice?
Do you notice how we say, go and take a swim to refresh yourself? Because we expect you to do hard labor. We expect you to be concentrated like a flame of a candle which doesn't move, so that you can take full benefit. For that you need to eat enough and take your extra rest if you need it. You know. Do, and this should be the motto, I want to keep myself fit to do the real life, to take care of Krishna. This is very important. This is often not understood. This movement is not about renunciation. This movement is not about enjoyment. This movement is not about understanding everything. This movement is about developing attachment to Krishna. It's a whole different program. It's a whole different program. Now, don't think this means this is a loophole for your materialistic desires. It is not. To keep yourself fit for Krishna consciousness doesn't mean to flood your senses with all the different crazy ideas you have for enjoyment. Because that will pull you away from Krishna. To keep yourself fit for Krishna means to be like someone who maintains his car so that he can go to the places where he needs to go. Yeah? It means that he can work on the road of taste. In the old times, we who were coming from the hippie culture, this is our we early devotees, most of us came. We were always talking about renunciation, because if we would do what we wanted to do, we would be stoned. That's an expression for being intoxicated with undesirable substances. You know. There was a lot, because we, and you can see, Prabhupada wrote his purpose, and he speaks in his purpose a lot about renunciation to give this up, because his audience were hippies. They were madly attached to the wrong things. He speaks also a lot about the illusions of science, of materialistic understandings. But please read Prabhupada properly. His main statement in his books is to develop attachment to Krishna so that you can think of him and always and never forget him. This happens when you develop attachment. Like when I was a boy, I had attachment to my strawberries. I had strawberry t-shirts even. This is very important. And this is how you can live your life without disturbances. If you try to renounce everything at once, you will be disturbed in mental, and everyone will be able to see it. You will be dried out and not able to sit in the kirtan for a long time. Now I wanted to talk about the three fruits of progress. But I need to look at the wristwatch now. Oh, boy, you couldn't even stop. I will make it now. We have up to 9:50, by the way. That's the prescribed time. It's not 9 o'clock. I mean, at the end. 9:50. I will now be a little bit more fast, but I thought to speak about this because it comes new for many of you. Now I would like to say how on the road of taste, what you will experience. Srimad Bhagavatam tells us a very important verse, Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo Viraktiya Anyatra Chaisa Trika Elakar Trika Elakar. Yes. It says, as you advance
No, listen. As you advance, you now every one of you check if you are advancing or if you are the eternal neophyte. Huh? As you advance, three things will come to you. First is bhakti. You will, what this means is, you will like the acts of hearing and chanting as you advance. Is this coming to you? Have some of you started to notice how when they started, they couldn't chant so well their rounds, but now sometimes, ooh, they really like it? Yeah? Some of you not. Yes. So you are advancing. This is good. As you advance, you will come to the bhakti station. Bhakti station means, you know, like on the road. Oh, here's the bhakti station. Good. You like this hearing and chanting about Krishna. You like a Krishna Katha evening. You feel this is a good place to sit. Let me find more. Then the next thing as you advance is Anubhava. It means an experience of Krishna's nature and sweetness. My dear devotees, this experience of Krishna's nature and sweetness will come to you when you chant the holy name in Kirtan and look at the beautiful form of Krishna and all of a sudden feel, I'm with Krishna now. This Anubhava means something which is fresh, a fresh feeling which happens in a feeling of love. Have you ever loved? You might notice, oh, I'm with that person, but I don't know that person. It's so nice. It's never boring. My God, it's so good. When you're with a good friend together, the Matajis are with their Mataji friends, and oh my God, and they talk, preach at him. And the man, oh, they do, plea on you. You know, and ever fresh, never boring. You know. Of Krishna's nature, you feel, oh, I'm reading this, and I like to know more about it. Yesterday I felt I could not. I was in the night and I said I couldn't, I was not able to sleep because I was so happy. Everyone is so happy that one doesn't sleep very well. Well, what do I do now? Okay, let's read Bhagavata. And I opened the Sharata Dashini, Bhagavata commentaries of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You know, my first reaction was, oh, I have read this a million times. But then I thought, let me read again, maybe. And I read it again and I said, my God, I have not read it one time. Now I'm discovering this point. I didn't know this. What happened? You know. And for a moment I thought, oh, Krishna's mercy, I'm feeling some excitement about Krishna's nature. And so that's the Anubhava station. Road of taste. Maybe you go with a horse drawn on cart. You come first to the bhakti station. You feel, you bhakti here means the processes of hearing and chanting about Krishna. You like, I like very much, you say. Then you come to the station of oh, here's something about Krishna, this nature, my God, what he does, and how he thought in this instant, and how he fulfilled many desires of several devotees at once. And then comes virakti. Oh, very good. A simultaneous detachment from worldly possessions and relationships. You really feel, I don't need to go to these people any longer. Oh, I really don't need this new wristwatch. I thought next time I come by Dubai airport, I buy this rich watch duty-free so that I don't have such a feeling of guilt that I spent this ridiculous amount of money on an ordinary wristwatch from this world. You know, you feel after some time, I don't need this foolish wristwatch. Anyways, I'm always too late. I don't need a wristwatch. This is not a good feeling. Now you might ask, How do I come to this stage? And now listen very carefully. You will develop bhakti and anubhava and virakti, or pleasure in the acts of devotion, pleasure in the object of devotion, Krishna, and detachment, very naturally, if you learn an art which has to do with the first part. This art is you need to know in an intelligent way how to engage your senses. See, all of us have five senses. We see things, we taste things, we hear things, we, what else, smell things, and we touch things. So if you engage the senses, they're called knowledge-acquiring senses, with the word, you see the word, you hear about the word, you touch the word, you smell the word, you hear the word. In other words, worldly things, worldly music, worldly, you go amongst karmis and smell their different perfumes. I'm giving examples which you don't do. I don't want to make you embarrassed. So if you engage your material senses with the word, you will develop taste for the word. You have to learn to engage your senses with Krishna. You look at the beauty of the deities. My dear devotees, please go close and look at Radha Kanhaiya Lal. If you look close enough, you will make sighs. Oh, so beautiful. They are really something else, but you can only see them if you come close, and I guess your heart also has to come close a little. They look very beautiful. They are the small deities where Radha Kanhaiya Lal, where Radha Kunya Bihari are. Radha Kunya Bihari are also beautiful, but Radha Kanhaiya Lal have this, they are very, their features are extremely fine. You will see this when you look close. I think no one of you has seen them from close, and therefore you will be surprised what happens when you see them from close. Hear about spiritual things. Engage your senses, all you have with spiritual things. That is what I recognize in my own life. I notice I'm so curious, I'm so creative, I'm so all this. I wish I wouldn't be, but I am. So I engage all this in Krishna's service and feel enlivened and happy in spiritual life. This is the tip. You need to find, I want to express it in different words, your entry point in bhakti, but your 100% entry point, where you can enter with all what you carry around you. Vishwanath Chakravarti says, in this regard, the following should be considered. When a devotee practices devotional service under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, he engages his ears and other senses in acts of bhakti by hearing and chanting about Krishna. You can speak with this about Madhava Prabhu, who is a very wonderful Vaishnava. He came when he was very young to Vrindavan. He told me this personally, from tongue to ear, he told me. And he was engaged in the 24-hour kirtan. Sometimes he had to chant, not sometimes, many times, 6 hours in the night. That means only hearing the holy name and chanting about Krishna. Young man, full of many ideas what he could do in his life. But after doing this for some years, now he likes to chant. A young man, becoming old. So you need to engage your ears and other senses in acts of bhakti. by hearing and chanting about Krishna. Do this, even if you are from the Balkans and are restless because you have ants in your dhotis and laris. You have to sit and do this. Remembering Krishna, that's good for your mind. Offering obeisances, that's for your whole body. Bow down, mister, you know, pain, do this. Personally serving his deity form. Thus, the devotee who uses his senses, God, I'm so enthusiastic about this point. Thus, the devotee makes the Lord's transcendental qualities the objects of his senses. And as told by the Lord himself, Nirguno Mat Apashaya, the devotee who takes shelter of Krishna transcends the material modes. I have a disciple. This disciple is most extraordinary amongst the devotees. I will not tell the country and the name, you will not know. It's a disciple who cannot, who in the beginning was just so creative. He could never chant for a long time. He could not chant his 60 rounds even. He, this disciple, he always was in Vrindavan and lived in Vrindavan because this disciple understood, I have no chance if I'm not surrounded with spiritual sense objects. I'm just too clean, you know. It was not a person who was frustrated with the material life because he couldn't enjoy it. No, he could enjoy like anything. But he understood, I want spiritual life more than anything. So I told him, you need to surround yourself with spiritual sense objects. And then the disciple said, but you can chant, I can't do that. I know you chant from morning till evening, I can't do that. He said, then just sit. Then I said, what can you do? The disciple said, I like the deities, I like beauty, I'm a man of beauty. Acha said, then you do one thing. You sit before the deity and you don't move anywhere. You just look at the deity. See what happens. Make the objects of your senses as spiritual sense objects. Now, this devotee chants also 64 rounds a day. No problem. Because the devotee found his entry point where he could engage his senses with something spiritual. That's the whole art. Somewhere you need to connect with Krishna. For some it's chanting. That's by the way the most feasible way. Mahaprabhu says Parama Upai, that's the process which works best. You know. And therefore tomorrow bring an iron chain and chain yourself to the pillar. You know, but I don't say this. Stay maximum time. I recommend 8 hours in the kirtan. So now I want you to turn to your neighbor. We still have a few minutes. We will make an active learning exercise. Please find yourself a neighbor. We will discuss something very important. Hare Krishna, I can see you are so much, you are listening so much that, wow, what now? Who has not yet found a neighbor, please look around. Dushta Krishna, here. Who has not yet found a neighbor? Neighbor, how do we say neighbor in Associate. Se ama aqui, né? Now, you are already starting to talk. That's very good. Brothers, now listen to about what to talk. That's important. So, first of all, I need to show you something. Do you see this?
Yes.
The five stages of spiritual life. Do you notice it's already the third day where we have this on the board? And we never talked about it. Also today I have not talked about it. Only one person has asked me so far, when will you talk about the five stages? And I said, you're the only one who is catching what I want to do. I want to say to this one person, on the last day you will hear about it. I just wanted to see if some of you are also alert and aware. Now, my dear devotees, comes your question. We have heard that when you engage in the process of Krishna consciousness, it's like eating. And when you eat, you get satisfaction, nourishment, and relief from hunger. So we said, on the path of bhakti, you must make Krishna the object of your senses. You must not eat Krishna, but you must connect with Krishna, like a person who connects to his food. And then you will get bhakti, and you will make it and anubhava and virakti. Vishwanath says, those who eat only a little food will derive only a little satisfaction, a little nourishment, and a slight relief from hunger. Similarly, those who perform only a little hearing and chanting about Krishna will attain only a little bhakti, some little realization of the Lord, and a little detachment. So, your discussion subject is, how can you become nourished in your life? Or, and how can you stay, that you stop being hungry? So, in other words, what could you do? And this is now very precise what you have to say, to increase your taste. What can you do to engage with Krishna? You know, what ideas can you have? I think if you discuss this with your neighbor, here it's not that partner A goes first and talks for some time, then partner B comes after. No, you should discuss this. What could you actually do in your life to engage yourself with things which will nourish you and will give you taste? Start now.
Thank you.
Krishna, Krishna. Sorry, we went a little bit over time. Now, my dear devotees, I can't repeat this to you long enough, but I won't do it long now. There are so many saintly people who have tried to cut asunder the knots of their material attachment by renunciation. But they were not successful. What we do in bhakti is we engage our senses with Krishna. We don't want to cut all this. We engage. And this is what it means to practice on the level of taste. Prithu Maharaj was once asked by Krishna, "What do you want? I give you any blessing." And do you know what he answered? He said, "I want to practice on the level of taste." He said, "Oh Lord, I would never ask for anything from you where the nectar of your lotus feet is absent. What I really ask of you is to grant me this one boon, that I will be given unlimited ears, not just one set, not just two sets, millions of sets of ears, with which I may hear such nectar as it pours from the hearts and mouths of great souls. My prayer is, you have unlimited devotees, good devotees. I want to be there with my ears in unlimited places to hear this Krishna Katha or Krishna Naam from them." And then that is a practice on the level of taste, and it will give you taste. If you don't have taste, if you do this, the taste will come. I want to end now this program. If you have any questions, we will open our workshop at 11 o'clock. Maybe we should say, because we are today a little late, 11:15, you know. We also need to eat and live our lives. I will ask our announcer G to give us an orientation. Maybe Govinda Nandan is also there. Good.
Hare Krishna. Just a small reminder, on Friday, this is day after tomorrow, in the morning lecture, Maharaj will open his question and answer, so to say, shop. So if you have some questions and you feel maybe you don't want to ask them in public, we can arrange for a box and you can write your questions and then put them into the box. Or maybe Maharaj, this would be the best idea that you can choose. So we will make a box, and then you can write your questions, note them down, and just put them into the box, and then Maharaj will take as many as he can answer in like an hour and a half, and then they can be answered also. And a little reminder is that His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj is coming today, 6 o'clock? Okay, and we will try to organize also one question and answer session with him outside of the regular retreat times. So we will ask him when he arrives, and he's always willing to serve and support the Vaishnavas. And the last thing is that Mrigendra Prabhu, who is in charge of the cooking team for the last day, he just wanted to tell you something little. Have a good breakfast and see you at 11:15. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. I would just like to thank all the organizers who help us so much that we can do our task on the Friday. It's so easy to cooperate, and I would also like to thank you, all of you, or at least half of you, who were enthusiastically willing to participate in this cooking. And for the rest, of you, half rest of you. I have also some engagement here. We are preparing also some small surprise for you. We would really like to do something special for you. So definitely we would do cooking with all our love, and we will stretch the last atom of our bhakti which we have. So, but you know, we still feel a little bit uncomfortable to do this. So we would like to ask you for your, humbly ask you for your blessings and good wishes. So please open your wallets of your heart and be very merciful to us, give us a blessing so that we can do this task. And also after... From the deacon of the heart to give us blessings. And we will have also some short meeting. It will be better right now after the exchange. So thank you very much and Hare Krishna.
I have some sale announcements, so I will be quick. Devotees also have to plan their ways back. So for those devotees who are not sure how and when they should leave the island and what is the connection, bus or airplane or whatever, please start planning already now. I know it's not easy because we are in the middle of the retreat, but we need to plan in advance so that we can prepare nicely and that you can catch your buses or whatever you need to come to your destination. So please approach me if you need some help, and together with the managers of the hotel we will try to arrange whatever is possible for you. Oh yes, there was an announcement before the retreat that the one devotee from Russia will bring some ghee. Do you have the ghee? Yeah. Sideshwari is in great need of the ghee. Hare Krishna. Now it's time for the breakfast. Thank you.
Ну, когда вышел, что-то сегодня.